He always wore a wristwatch, and he had, it was the elasticated metal strap that you have to put it on over your hand. There isn't a clasp. My name is Vera and I live in Glencare. We were very close. I don't have any brothers or sisters, so it was just daddy's girl type thing. And I suppose he got married later in life, so there was always kind of a generation thing between us. You know, he was just a little bit older and that kind of thing. So I suppose he's very delighted when he had a child of his own. Like, we spent a lot of time together, and he used to bring me everywhere with him. And I look back now and I think, oh, Japers, how did he have the patience? Because I'd say it was so annoying. Like, we live near Carr Lake, so pretty much every weekend we used to go out in the boat fishing. He knew all the kind of spots to go to, so we'd nearly always come home with a fish at the weekend. When I think back on that now, I think, wow, that was really privileged. I just took it for granted when I was younger. Well, he had his own vegetable garden. It was nearly subsistence. He had cattle and he used to have his own calves. Grew up then helping him, just feeding the animals. Yeah, it was basically his assistant, you know, any job, fencing. You know, I forgot the hammer, go and get the hammer, please. That kind of person was who I was, the kind of runner. He was kind of quiet in the sense that he wouldn't talk the whole time, you know, he just kind of work. And it was kind of nice because he didn't feel he had to make conversation like all the time. It was just, you know, comfortable. I really liked hanging out with him. He always wore the wristwatch and it fitted nicely around his hand, but as he got older he lost weight, and then he found himself that he'd have to push the watch up further to keep it on, you know. So I measured how much to take off and brought it to the jeweller, and I kept the little piece that was taken off. I didn't think of keeping it consciously. It was just something that I just threw in a drawer. And it was only after he died I found it and I thought, oh, that's just perfect. I keep it beside my bed. Anytime I'm in the bedroom, it's there. And it's not like I'm consciously looking at it. It's just a glance to see that it's there. And yeah, of all the things I have, I suppose, that belong to him, this is probably what means the most to me, because it just reminds me of him, because he always wore this watch. So yeah, I miss him, definitely.
I love adrenaline. It's amazing. Like, I'm not somebody that stands by and admires the view at the top of the mountain. I'm the person that, I get to the top, I take a break, and then I want to run down the mountain. The adrenaline rush you get from going downhill skating, going 30, 40 miles an hour, it's dangerous, sure, and some people might say you shouldn't do it, you could get yourself hurt. But what's the point in living life if you never take risks? My name's Fiacre Brown, I'm from Tralee, and I'm 18 years old. I'm a surf instructor and beach lifeguard. Most of my hobbies and my work is in the outdoor industry. I work in the outdoors industry because I love it. So I got this shark tooth when I was in South Africa. I was about maybe 9-10 years old. I was walking on the beach and there's loads of shark tooths there. It's a great white shark tooth. And I got a jeweler to just to put a bit of metal on it and make it into a necklace. A lot of people I notice, they go through college, they kind of go through the motions of life. And what they end up doing is they live to work, they don't work to live. And to be honest, I don't like that view. Because of my mom bringing me out traveling, that I want to travel further as I get older. I want to see the world. The shark tooth, it's there to remind me to never kind of go easy in life, to never take a break, to keep going and like, pushing my limits. For one person, computer science might be exactly what they love, and they might love sitting in front of a desk every day. But for other people, they might love like more hands-on, adrenaline-based activities. And that's me.
I found it very hard to reconcile the fact that when my mother needed me most, I wasn't able to mind her. My name is Kathleen. I'm from Killarney. You know, this continued after she passed away. Just reconciling the fact that that I couldn't be there as I thought when she needed me. And one day I was looking for a photograph just to put in a frame, looking through photographs of the kids, maybe not quite sure what I was looking for. And there in the middle of the photographs was this little square photograph of my mother, and it just seemed to pop out at me. And I thought, gosh, you know, that's a really nice picture now of my mother, a lovely smiling picture of her at her 90th birthday, where she's kind of radiant with health and just really enjoying her day, so she looked really happy. So I took that photograph and I just put it in a nice place where I could see it, and it made me feel happy and just a nice connection with my mother. I had another frame and I thought, do you know, that photograph of my mother now would be perfect in that frame. And as I brought the photograph from where it was to where the frame was, I saw on the back of it written, "Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee." It was my own writing. I have no recollection of why I wrote it there, when I wrote it there, but I was just so struck by the fact that this was my mother communicating with me. And I was kind of blown away, really. So I've put the photograph into the frame where it fits absolutely perfectly. So I've got her just smiling up at me out of this lovely frame. And every time I pass it, I'm just reminded of Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee. And it's like all my fears and worries about not having minded her were just totally put to rest.
But I'd say my favourite of all had to be my first one. It was a leather socket, and like with a pair of shoes, it did take the shape. I thought it was light at the time, but looking back on it now, it was like the Titanic's anchor. The name is David Nkora. Every Saturday, I used to always meet Noreen, and I'd collect the lads and carry them with me and leave herself go and do her shopping or visiting her sister. Met Noreen at the top of Nakadere to gather the lads. And one said yes and the other said no, and the two of them started arguing. I said, look, go with your mother. Within an hour, I had an accident. And it so happened there was a truck turning over towards Fadden Four. And I went to the left and I went into the other bit of a yard to give plenty of clearance, and I carry on about my business. And in the meantime, out of nowhere, came a fella and jumped in front of me, thinking I was somebody else coming from a drive. I swerved to avoid him and I clipped the other truck, and flesh and bone had no chance in the matter. How would I explain? It is a through knee amputation. My wife and my father-in-law's cousin were given the limb, and it's buried back in Killintierna. So I can truthfully say I do have one foot in the grave. Herself came in the following morning to see me, and of course her first reaction was dancing a polka. And what would she do? The accident was in 1st of August. I got the prosthetic limb in the following February. I keep a few of them then as a keepsake, as standbys, but there again, I suppose they'd be more than suitable for the Smithsonian at this stage, like. I do miss the polka. I can go one, two, think about it. Maybe at this stage, four, five, and six have come on, and I still haven't moved, so rather than spoiling it for everyone. I can dance it inside my head, and if there's someone dancing it bad, I get tripped inside my brain. But like, I can do a jive, or I can do a slow waltz or a slow smoochie. So once that gets me out of harm's way, I have my duty done then. I often thought, why me? But life is good, I can't complain. I could be growing daisies years ago.
It's a plain gold band, and on the front of it, you have a heart held by two hands and a crown on top. It was given to me 40 years ago by an old boyfriend. Helen, and I'm from Listowel. He was, of course, at the time and still is, I'm sure, tall, dark and handsome. And they were all mad about him, including me. We were boyfriend and girlfriend for 12 months. On the night of my 18th birthday, when I was given this ring, we met in the restaurant that I worked in at the time in Abbeyfield, and he collected me, and there was music, there was dance on in Tom Tobin's dance hall at that time. He walked me home after the dance, and on the way home, just as we approached my mother and father's house, he gave me my birthday present, and it was a small silver box, and inside it was the Cladder ring. The boyfriend I got it from was going to uni in Dublin at the time, and we used to only meet every 2 weeks. One weekend he wasn't supposed to be coming down, and my friend and I, we just happened to go to the local bar, which I never went to. When I went in, he was there, and we just never spoke that night, and that was it. That was how it broke off. But I just felt, you know, that night, why didn't he come over and sit down and talk? And they didn't come over, we didn't go over to them, and it was just one of those things that happened. I suppose in my mind I knew that it wasn't always going to be a long-term thing, that he had better things in his life, you know, plans. And well, I knew I was just a little waitress in a small restaurant, and he was training to be an accountant, and I knew, sure, what would he be doing with a girl like me? Maybe 15 years ago, the back of the band was getting light, and I actually had to take it off to take it to the jewellers to strengthen the band. That was the only time the ring came off. Even when I had my four kids and I had surgeries, that ring never came off. Well, it's very special. It is a promise ring, yes. I do regret not going over and talking to him that night, and I often wonder, you know, why he didn't come over. But that's the way it goes.
Missy, Seedy, Cookie, Mila, Mao, and there's Wilson and Honey as well. My name is Martina Serrata. I'm from Kilgabnet Beaufort. I got this locket, I suppose, a good 14 years ago now. One of our pets passed away, unfortunately, Missy, and we used to always keep snippets of each of their hair, we'd say, every time we'd do a bit of dog grooming and that. And so I popped a bit of Missy's hair into my locket when she passed away, sadly. From then on, it's been gathering. Tis a bit of an amalgamation of a bird's nest now at the moment between eight different pets in my locket. We would have grown up with all kind of dogs and that at home, dogs and cats, and sure, my dad now, we have seven hens as well, like, you know, and I'd have an animal farm if I could, like. Yeah, animals are amazing. They're always there for you, like. They just give you unconditional love. I mean, sure, you miss them terrible when you go on holidays. I think that's the worst thing about leaving the house or going away for a day or two. You feel you're leaving them behind and you can't take them on holidays, but sure, you know, I suppose we all need a break too, and maybe they need a break from us as well. I always have it, like, you know, it's always on me. I suppose we just have to keep, God, packing in more bits of hair if more animals do come along down the way, but, you know, like, they're always with me and they're always close to my heart. The locket practically is practically placed over my heart, like it's on a long chain. You know, but, you know, it's hidden, no one sees it, you know, like it's just for me personally, but now everyone will know about it.
When I was in school, school tours were the highlight of our year. We lived on a farm, so holidays really were out of the question because there was always some work going on and, you know, farmers don't take time off. You got the new outfit for the school tour. You couldn't sleep the night before because you were so sick with the excitement of maybe afraid you'd miss the bus. My name is Gillian and I am originally from Ballyseedy, currently living just outside Tralee in Ballard. I had a pound note, I remember. Like, that was a big amount of money for me to have. And I was afraid to put the pound note in my bag where the sandwiches and the flask were in case I'd lose the bag. So I held the pound note rolled up in the palm of my hand. I think we were going to the Alloway Caves. We went across on the ferry. I mean, the excitement going across on the ferry. We were out on deck roaring and screaming and the excitement of the Shannon and the water coming. It was just amazing. We stopped by a strand and whatever happened anyway, I fell off the pier and into the water. Now, if it was anybody else, they'd call it an accident, but with me, like, there's always drama. That kind of finished a few hours of the day for me because I had to go back to the bus and the most mortifying thing of all was I had to take off my clothes in front of the teacher. We continued on our journey and I was mortified, you know, and they were all laughing and my hair was all wet. And I felt something in my hand and I thought, what's in my hand? Like, my fingers were crooked together. When I opened my hand, the pound note was still in my hand. And then we went to see the Alloway Caves. There was a little gift shop there. I brought back the little ceramic turtle for my mother. And it was in a little blue box. It probably cost me the bones of the pound note. But it didn't matter because I knew that I was going to be making my mother really happy by bringing her home a little present. My mother will be dead 20 years this year and I still have this little turtle.